All right, I know our screen behind me has been flickering a little bit today, and I know our guys are looking into it, but the TV in the back's working great. I don't know what to tell you, but we'll see how it goes. I invite you to open your copy of God's Word to John chapter 10. Started our study in this last Sunday. We want to continue today. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6 is the portion that we're in this morning. Let me begin by reading this paragraph to us. Hopefully you've got a copy of the Word on your phone or in your lap. There's a blue Bible in the rack in front of you. If you're here today without a copy of God's Word, John chapter 10 is where we're at, in verses 1 through 6. This is the Word of the Lord. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. This is God's inerrant, authoritative, and inspired word. May he bless what we've read. Let's ask for his help as we begin this morning. Father, we come before your word today. We know that we need your help to understand what it says. And so that's what we asked for. Father, I pray for your help as I stand up here to preach your word, that you'd strengthen my mind and make it clear, my throat to make it strong. My words give me clarity, Heavenly Father, to explain what this says, Lord, in a way that's understood. Father, as listeners, give us hearing ears, Lord. Let us not just hear with the human ear, but let us hear with our hearts, Heavenly Father. You have to do this for this to take place. Let it not just be information to us, but let it be your words. Give us that kind of hearing today, Father. Please pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Transform us this morning. Change us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I mentioned, we return to our study of John chapter 10 this morning. And as I noted last Sunday, this is one of the most well-loved chapters in the entire Bible. The reason that John 10 is so well-loved is because in this chapter we find one of the most well-loved pictures of Christ. In John chapter 10, we see Jesus Christ portrayed as the good shepherd of the sheep. Many of us are familiar with the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Think of John chapter 10 as its New Testament companion. And it's my desire in this chapter to hold up this portrait of Jesus as the good shepherd, to describe this image of the Good Shepherd to you in all of its full and rich detail, and to portray him in such a way that you see the great love and care and protection that Jesus Christ provides for his sheep. In short, my desire is to help you see the glory of the Good Shepherd. Last Sunday, we saw that Jesus Christ is the true shepherd. In verse 1, as I just read, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." He's speaking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, and he's describing them as false shepherds, as thieves and robbers. But as opposed to the Pharisees and the scribes is the picture of Christ who enters the sheepfold through the door. In verse 2, it says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." He enters the sheepfold through the appointed way. That is, he comes to Israel the way that the Old Testament scriptures said that he would. Because he came in fulfillment of all that God's word said about him, he is the one true shepherd of Israel. We noted that there are at least 61 prophecies of Christ in the Old Testament, and we described that he fulfilled them all. Jesus was the only one with the authority to shepherd God's people Israel. And the prophets paved the way, kind of painted the way. They pointed to Jesus as the true shepherd. In fact, look at verse 3. To him, the gatekeeper opens. That's probably a reference to John the Baptist and his pronouncement and announcement as the forerunner of Jesus, that here he is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Messiah of Israel. Well, we want to move on from Jesus as the true shepherd, and we want to go on today to the call of the good shepherd. The call of the good shepherd. This morning, we want to see come to the way that Jesus, the good shepherd, calls his sheep. The way that he calls people to salvation. The way that he calls people to trust in him for the forgiveness of sins. The way that he calls people to trust him as their Savior and Lord. And there are four characteristics to this call that we find in John chapter 10. First of all, note that it's a particular call. The call of the good shepherd is a particular call. The good shepherd calls specific sheep. Verse 3, again, after I left off there, says the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep. Remember that this sheepfold described in these first six verses looks something like this. Sorry, it's small. This is an artist's rendering, of course, of what a village sheepfold looked like. It was a fairly substantial structure. The walls of this village sheepfold could have been up to 10 or 12 feet high, had an actual door in it. It was shared by several families, meaning that there was more than one flock kept in this sheepfold. Every evening, the shepherds would return their sheep to the sheepfold where they would be guarded by a hired under-shepherd. He's called the gatekeeper here. The families hired this man to watch over the sheep through the night. And then each morning, a shepherd would come to this village sheepfold, this community sheepfold, to call his own sheep out of the fold. He didn't call all of the sheep out of the fold, of course, because not all of them were his. He called only those that belonged to him. His call was a particular call. And this is the very thing that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, does when he saves you and me. Last Sunday, we noted that this sheepfold, this figure of speech, as it's called down in verse 6, is a representation of the nation of Israel. Jesus Christ came to call out of this sheepfold those sheep that belonged to him. Christ came to save those sheep that were given to him by the Father. Now, I want you to see this explained throughout the New Testament, that the Father is the one who gave Christ his sheep, and it's those sheep he came to call. You see this clearly in John chapter 6, verse 37. Notice what it says. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And then two verses later, Jesus says in John 6, 39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Then a few chapters later, John chapter 17, where we read the high priestly prayer of Jesus, where Jesus prays for his disciples and us. In that chapter, Jesus says in verse 6, I have manifested your name, I have demonstrated, shown your name, revealed your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, he's addressing the Father, yours they were, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Verse 9 of that same chapter, I'm praying for them, my disciples and us. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And then finally, in verse 24, just to drive it home, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. Do you see what I'm talking about? There are particular sheep that God the Father gave to the Son. It's these sheep that Jesus Christ comes to call. It's a particular call. Just as a shepherd, village shepherd, didn't come to the sheepfold and call all of the sheep because they didn't all belong to him, so this is what Christ does when he calls us to saving faith, when he calls us to trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins. Now you might be sitting there wondering, how in the world does a shepherd call his sheep out of a sheepfold shared by several families? How does he separate his own sheep from all the other sheep in the fold? That would be chaos. Well, not at all, actually. The shepherd, it's remarked, would stand outside the door of the sheepfold and simply begin to call his sheep. They would speak in a way that only his sheep would respond to. He might use some kind of, you know, sing-song voice, whatever tone of voice it was that he used with his own flock. They recognized it because they were familiar with it, and his sheep would respond to it. None of the other flocks in the fold would respond to him. Only his particular sheep would respond to his voice. That's exactly the same thing that happens with Jesus, the good shepherd, and his particular sheep, with the sheep that the Father gave to him. They respond to him in saving faith. They respond to his call to repent and believe because they recognize his voice. This is what Jesus, the good shepherd, does. Notice verse 3 again. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Glance down the page to verse 16, where we read these words. We said that in verses 1 through 6 of John 10, the sheepfold represents Israel. We get to verse 16. That sheepfold represents non-Jewish sheep, Gentile sheep like you and me, most of us at least in the room today. Look at what verse 16 says. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. Look at what it says. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And then we see the same idea of John 10:16 in Jesus' interview with Pilate toward the crucifixion in John chapter 18. Let me catch up to my slide. Jesus says to Pontius Pilate, as Pilate interviews him, these are Jesus' words, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And then we see the same thing about the sheep hearing the shepherd's voice in Acts 28. Remember, that's about Paul and his under house arrest in Rome. The Jewish leaders come to hear Paul's message. They hear his message. They reject it. And this is what Paul says to them in Acts 28. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. And look at these words. They will listen. They will listen. On the other hand, those who don't respond to the good news about Christ's payment for sin, those who don't respond to the gospel and repentance and faith, those who don't trust Jesus as their Savior and Lord, are not part of his flock. They are not part of his flock, and they will not respond to his voice. If you're in chapter 10, just look a little further down the page to verse 25 of John chapter 10. Jesus here is speaking to the Pharisees again, and look at his words to them. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. Look at these words. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A British pastor many years ago named John Henry Jowett described this particular call of shepherds for his own particular sheep. He writes, some years ago, in our country, he was from Great Britain, in our country, we do not realize the intimacy of a shepherd with his flock as they do in the Mideast and in parts of Southern Europe. It was my daily delight, he writes, every day for many weeks and a dozen times a day to watch a shepherd who had this incredibly close communion with his flock. Many times have I accompanied him through the green pastures and by the stream. If my shepherd wished to lead his sheep from one pasture to another, he went before them and he was usually singing. He led them with a song or a sweet, low, wooing whistle like the call of a bird. And the sheep raised their heads from the grass, looked at their guardian and guide, and followed on. I've heard his song and his low bird call by the water course, and have seen the sheep follow his course over the rocky boulders to the still waters where they've been refreshed. At noon, he would sit down in a place of shadows, and all his flock crowded around him for rest. At night, when the darkness was falling, he gathered them into the fold. So this call of the Good Shepherd, friends, is a particular call. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, calls his own sheep, and his sheep respond to his voice. Well, there's a second characteristic to his call that I want to point out to you. Not only is it a particular call, we go even further to note that it's an individual call. It's an individual call. He calls individual sheep. Again, notice verse 3. It says, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. It's true that in Jesus' day, some sheep would have been raised to provide sacrifices for the temple in Jerusalem. But most sheep were cared for by the same shepherd for years at a time. And during that long period of time, it was very common for shepherds to name their sheep. When a shepherd came to the fold in the morning, as I've already described to you, not only would the sheep respond to the sound of his voice and his voice alone, the shepherd would also call his sheep by their individual names. Wooly, Long Ears, Francine, Bob, Larry, I don't know, whatever. Curly, there you go. There was an incredible familiarity with the shepherd, between the shepherd and his sheep. He had intimate knowledge of his sheep. This is exactly what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, does. He calls his sheep by name. He calls his sheep to saving faith. And he calls them individually. He calls them by name. His call to faith is an individual call. The book of Revelation, really an incredible verse I'm going to show you, says that if you know Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you have trusted in Jesus, that your name, listen to this, has been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. Just stop and drink that in for a minute. Do you claim Jesus is your Savior and Lord? Do you? If you do, it says before the world was created, your name, not the church, your name, Max Irwin, Nick Richardson, John Hill, David Key, your individual names were written in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. It's incredible. He knew you, as we sang this morning, before the dawn of time. We read about this same thing in the book of Philippians. Paul writes to, well, the church has got a little thing going on between these two women. And this verse mentions that. But look at the end of this verse where Paul brings out this same idea, Philippians 4:3. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, Paul's co-worker there in Philippi, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, look at that, whose names are in the book of life. And then one more from Luke chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells his disciples, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you." His men had just returned from a ministry trip, if you think of it that way. But look what he says, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Ah, this is the glorious truth of election, that God chooses some for salvation before they were even born. And some people describe election as a very impersonal and arbitrary thing, but what this verse in John 10 shows us is that election is a very tender and personal thing between the good shepherd and his sheep. Jesus, as the good shepherd, has an intimate personal knowledge of the sheep he calls to saving faith. He calls them by name. Well, that's not all. That's not all. Since Christ knows his sheep personally and individually, it means he knew all about the junk in your life. He knew all about the sin in my life before he called you and me out of the sheepfold and into his flock. Huh. If he wrote your name down before the foundation of the world, he knew everything about you before it happened. There are no surprises with him. He called you to himself on that basis. Isn't that mind-boggling? We keep secrets, you and I. And the truth is, if we found out each other's secrets, we'd probably give each other a wide berth. We'd, find somebody else to have lunch with. Wow. And I hope not. I mean, I pray there's not that level of secrecy at New Covenant. But, you know, sometimes secrets come out. You know, they're a little surprising and a little shocking. Listen. Listen. The Good Shepherd knew about your dirty laundry long. I mean, long. Long? Well, eternity. Eternally. Before it ever took place. And he called you to himself anyway. That is mercy. That's love for his sheep. It's amazing. And so Paul throws some light on this in his letter to the Church of Rome. And he writes these words, and these are wonderful. "While we were still weak," still weak, aren't we still weak? "While we were still weak," he writes, "at the right time, Christ died, not for the spit-polished, shiny, good-looking, godly people." Christ died for the ungodly. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a huge, huge, important truth to lay hold of. There are no surprises with the Good Shepherd. If this were not so, we'd live our lives in fear that he'd find out some new revelation about us which would deter his love from us. But it's not the case. And so one person sums it up like this: as it is, nothing in his flock is hidden from him. Their weaknesses, their failures, their temptations, their sins, the good which they have neglected when it was within easy reach, the evil which they have pursued when it lay afar, all is open for his eyes. He knows them, and he loves them still. Oh, what an incredible truth about our Good Shepherd, that his call is not just particular. Ha! It's individual. This is a drawing rather, of Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher who lived in London, referred to as the Prince of Preachers. It's said of Spurgeon, one of his biographers writes, "Mr. Spurgeon at one time, as he sat on his platform, could name every one of his 5,000 members." We don't have a feel for that in this room this morning. This is an artist's rendition of the Metropolitan Tabernacle an attendance of, I would say, roughly 5,000 to 6,000. He could sit on the platform and name everybody. He had this freakishly good memory, a photographic memory, people say. Now, if that's an extreme case, I mean, sometimes we walk around, sometimes we can't even remember our children's names, right? You know, you're yelling up the stairs and you get through all three of them before you land on the right one, you know? He could remember 5,000 names. Some of us struggle to remember each other's children's names. And so just put this in perspective. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows your name. And knows everything about you. And before the foundation of the world, if you know Him as your Savior, your name, your actual name, was written down in the Book of the Lamb, Book of Life. I think it's a staggering thing. I think you're going to need the rest of the afternoon, maybe the rest of the week, to get your head wrapped around that incredible and precious truth that the Good Shepherd's call is an individual call. He has an intimate, personal knowledge of His sheep. He calls them by name. Well, I want to show you a third characteristic of His call. It's particular, it's individual, but thirdly, it's effective. His call accomplishes what He intends it to accomplish. His call is effective. And notice now in verse 4, when He has brought out all His own, just that first phrase, let's stop there. When He's brought out all His own, I want to point out two things. One is that those He calls will come. When it says, when He is brought out, that's a strong term. His call, His particular and individual call, when He calls, it is a powerful call that overcomes all objections. The sheep that Christ calls to saving faith will come to saving faith. Those who Christ calls to repent and believe will do so. So those He calls will come. Second, notice that all He calls will come. When He has brought out all His own, every sheep that Jesus calls to saving faith will come to saving faith. None are lost. None that are His, whom the Father gave to Him. Oh, this is awesome. None that the Father gave to Him before time will be lost. His sheep will come when He calls them, because His call is effective. Now, I need to tell you about a second call. So jot this down or tuck it away somewhere. There's another call called the general call. The general call. The general call is the universal offer of salvation that's offered to everyone. We see this general call in John chapter 7. Excuse me, this is the reference for the last one. All that the Father gives, and I emphasized it so much I even circled it in red and underlined it. Here's where I am now. This is about the general call. John 7:37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink." And we see this in Romans 10, this general, broad, inclusive call. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. John 3:16, God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him will not perish. And this is the kind of call that you and I are instructed to give. The general call, the universal offer of salvation to anyone who will believe in Christ. We're called to offer the gospel freely and indiscriminately to as many people as we can. This call, this general call that we're all called to offer, is external. That is, it's heard with the human ear. It's heard through by the human ear through the preaching and teaching and proclamation of God's Word. This call is outward. This call can be resisted. This general call to faith in Christ can be resisted. There are a great number of men who hear the free offer of the gospel, who hear of Christ's payment for sin on the cross and His free gift of salvation, who hear all that and flatly reject it. You know some of them. We can give examples both from the Bible and from our personal experience of people who reject this general call. All we have to do for a biblical example is glance up into the last chapter. Remember that Jesus had performed one of the most astounding miracles in the history of the universe. He healed a man born blind. It was standing there, the evidence, right in front of the Pharisees. His mom and dad proved that he had been born blind. He affirmed that he could now see. They have the evidence right there in the chamber of hewn stone, standing before them. And what did they do with the evidence that Jesus was the Messiah? They flatly rejected it. For a personal example, I can refer to many of you who have taken the trip to Guatemala, and that's a great many of you sitting in the room today. You that have sat in the counseling station have had a precious Guatemalan sit down in the chair across from you. You have poured out your heart in sharing the gospel to them, only to hear them say, "I am not interested. No, I am not interested in more about Christ. I'm not interested in coming to Him as my Savior and Lord." Many of us have heard those very words. Steve and I, one of the first people we had, Steve McGowan, two years ago, an older woman who simply didn't care. So this general call, it can be resisted. But what we're reading about here in John 10:4 is not, N-O-T, not the general call of God. It is the effective call of God. And in this effective call of the Good Shepherd, He uses the same means. He uses the same method with the effective call that He uses with the general call, the preaching and teaching and proclamation of His Word. But where the general call is external, the effective call is internal, heard by the heart of man. And while the general call can be resisted, the effective call of God on the life of anyone cannot be resisted. This effective call comes with the power of God's Spirit, who gives the person ears to hear, eyes to see the glorious truth of the gospel. And also this effective call comes with the desire and the will to repent and believe the gospel. And look at where we find this. We find this effective call of God in Acts chapter 16. Is this a big drink of water for you? Is this a hard sell? Ah, this is a glorious truth, my friend. The effective call of God. Look at the effective call of God upon a woman named Lydia. They're meeting by the side of a river. Paul is sharing the good news about Christ. And it says, "One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods," that is purple fabric, "who was a worshiper of God. The Lord," look at this, "the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul." Lydia not only heard the general call, she heard the good news with the human ear. This tells us she also heard God's effective call as he opened her heart to hear the free offer of salvation. We read about the effective call also in Romans chapter 8. Friend, this is a well-known passage, but it has something in it that you might not be aware of. Let me sneak it in on you, this verse that's precious to many of us. It begins, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose." Look how it continues. "Those whom He foreknew, He also predestined." That word predestined means to set a boundary around someone ahead of time, to mark them out. "Those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order..." This is in the Bible. You can read it for yourselves. "In order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers, and those whom He predestined, He also called." Those people that He put a boundary around ahead of time, in time, it says He called them with this kind of call. "And those that He called," it says, "He also justified them." They came to faith in Jesus. "Those whom He justified, He also glorified." This is such a done deal in the eyes of God the Father that He can already see you as glorified with your son, His Son, in eternity. It is that certain. Wow. Well, listen to this explanation, this difference between the general call, the effective call. Boy, if this disturbs you, let's go have coffee this week, shall we? I'll let you buy, and we'll talk about the general call and the effective call and Scripture that teaches this. Charles Spurgeon, I had his picture up just a moment ago. He has a good description of these two things. He says, "The general call of the gospel is like the sheet lightning we sometimes see on a summer evening. Beautiful, grand, but who ever heard of anything being struck by it? But the special call, what we call the effective call, is the forked flash from heaven. It strikes somewhere." And praise God that it does, that it comes to us, that He calls us, that when He calls us, He gives us the heart and will to believe, that new disposition. And when He calls, we come to saving faith in Jesus. That's the third characteristic. Let me round this out with one more characteristic of the call. It's particular. He calls His own sheep. He calls them by name. It's an individual call. It's an effective call. It accomplishes what He intends it to. Lastly, it is a permanent call. The sheep that the Good Shepherd calls become permanent members of His flock. We see this in verses 4 and 5 of John chapter 10. Look again, if you would. "When He has brought out all His own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This reminds us of what we saw in verse 3, that the sheep know the voice of their shepherd and will only respond to His call. But not only do sheep know and follow the voice of their own shepherd, also they will not follow the voice of a stranger. There are several accounts of those who have borrowed a shepherd's clothes, who have used the same exact words and phrases that the shepherd uses, who have even tried to imitate His vocal inflections in an attempt to call out the shepherd's sheep to themselves, all to absolutely no avail. The sheep simply will not respond to the voice of a stranger. And I think something like this, something similar to this, happens on a regular basis in our world. There are many who donned the clothing of a shepherd, who used the same kind of vocabulary and tone of voice that a shepherd uses, all in attempt to mislead the sheep of the good shepherd. In fact, there's a verse in Acts 28 that describes this very thing. Paul, in his farewell speech to the elders at the church of Ephesus, says, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." Now, I mentioned this. It comes to mind as I read this verse. Remember the old Warner Brothers cartoon where the coyote dresses up in the sheepdog suit and attempts to steal the sheep? Who's Wile E. Coyote, everybody's wondering? Well, you have to be 53 years old to get that one. What these verses in John 10 teach us is that while false shepherds might momentarily and temporarily lead us away from the truth, we will never completely or permanently be taken in by their false message because we don't recognize their voice. Sheep that genuinely belong to the Good Shepherd recognize the truth revealed by God and they reject error. If you're His sheep, this is true of you. I want to turn to John's first letter and just read a few verses about this. Too long to put on a slide, so I'm going to flip to 1 John chapter 4. If you want to follow me there, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 3 John, Jude, Revelation. You can find the book of Revelation and backtrack to 1 John chapter 4. Listen to John in this first letter of his write about the sheep who hear the voice of their shepherd and not a stranger. And he says, he writes 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that is, in a body, is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And so while a false shepherd might temporarily lure us away from the flock, this says that it will not happen permanently because we don't follow the voice of shepherds. Sheep that genuinely belong to the good shepherd recognize the truth revealed by God and reject error. Now, on the other hand, those who abandon their profession of faith in the truth prove that neither their faith nor their salvation was ever genuine. This is really important. On the other hand, those who abandon their profession of faith in the truth prove that neither their faith nor their salvation was ever genuine. Listen to John say the same thing earlier in that book. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us," that is, if they had been followers of Christ, "they would have continued with us. But they went out, they departed from the faith, that it might become plain that they are not of us." And so John MacArthur comments like this, "No one who is genuinely saved will finally and completely turn away from Jesus Christ." That is the gospel truth. I believe it, and I would affirm it to you too. No one who is genuinely saved will finally and completely turn away from Jesus Christ. Those who are Christ's do not leave Him to follow those who deny the truth. And this was played out in a courtroom in Australia several years ago. A sheep rancher was arrested and charged with stealing his neighbor's sheep. The trial date came. Both men were in the courtroom. The plaintiff, the man who accused his neighbor of stealing this lamb, was there. The defendant, his defense was that it was actually his lamb. It had been missing for days. All he was doing was simply bringing his own lamb home. Well, the judge had no idea what to do, how to prove it on either side, and so he brought the sheep into the courtroom. Now, it didn't take the witness stand or anything like that. He brought the sheep into the courtroom, and first of all, he had the accuser, the plaintiff, walk outside and call the lamb. He did so. The sheep in the courtroom lifted up his head, but all that it did was nervously adjust its feet. He brought the plaintiff back in, and he sent the defendant out of the room. This is the man who claimed it was his lamb. Outside the room, he calls the lamb. The lamb lifts its head up and fairly bounds toward the door to find the shepherd who had just called him. This is what we're talking about, friends. The call of the Good Shepherd is a permanent call. Those whom Christ calls will follow Christ and His voice and not the voice of a shepherd. Well, how does the Good Shepherd call His sheep? In summary, then, He calls. His call has four characteristics. It is a particular call. He calls His own. It's an individual call. He calls them by name. It's an effective call. It accomplishes what He intends. When He calls, they come. This is different from the general call, remember. And it's a permanent call. They follow Him and will not follow the voice of a stranger. So, I ask you today, have you heard the call of the Good Shepherd? Have you heard His call, not just with your ear? You know, if you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard some pastor stand up here and call you to trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. The question is not if you heard it with your ear outwardly. Have you heard it here? Has it pierced to your heart? Has the truth of Christ's payment on the cross for sins come and grabbed you by the throat? Has the truth that your sin put Him on the cross and that your sin requires payment? Has that call gripped you? Has the Good Shepherd called you like that? Has He called you to turn from your sin and believe in Him? If you say He has, yes, I think so. If you say He has, then are you following the Good Shepherd? Because it's a permanent call. His sheep won't turn and follow the voice of a stranger. They don't wander away. They follow Christ. There's no such thing in Christendom as a sheep pulling it off on his own. Ah, well, I don't need the church. I'll just, thank you, I'll just do my own thing. I don't need a body to hang around, fellowship with. That's so wrong, I don't even know where to begin. Because all we have to do is look at John 10 and say that's a complete aberration. That's the American ideal of rugged individualism. That's not found in the Bible. You say that the Good Shepherd's called you to be His sheep. Well, then where are you? Are you with the flock? Do you continue to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd? Because it's not just walk the aisle and then go hang out in your own pasture. That's not the picture the Bible gives us. And if you're confused about this, whether He's called you or not, again, let's go out for coffee this week and let's find out what field you're in. Many of you have heard the call. Many of you know the time and place where the Good Shepherd called you to himself. It's as clear, clear as any memory is in your mind. You know when Jesus Christ called you to come. And you heard and you came to faith in him. Look, if that's the case with you, if you've heard his call, not just here, but here, then our privilege is to proclaim that as broadly and widely as we possibly can. It's the general call. We go anywhere we can, talk to anyone we can, and say, hey, Christ died on the cross for sins, for sinners like you and me. And you can have full and free forgiveness today simply by turning your life over to him. Not mumbling his prayer, turning your life over to him. It's right here. That's our privilege as sheep who have heard the call, is to turn around and tell other sheep about the Good Shepherd. Lastly, if you've heard that call, I plead with you to go back over these verses and find joy. Yes, you know what that word means? Joy in the fact that the Good Shepherd called you into his flock by name, in particular, effectively and permanently. What an awesome truth. May God sink you deep into these verses of John 10, primarily for your own nourishment and encouragement. May this become pasture for hungry and thirsty sheep like us. Father, I pray today as the word has gone out that you would, Lord Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, effectively call your sheep to faith. Lord, I pray that those here today who do not know you as their Savior and Lord would hear that you died on the cross for sinners like them and me too. You died on the cross for our sins. You died as our substitute. Lord, let them hear that. Let them hear you call them to turn and trust you and give their lives to you. Father, please do this among us. And Father, to the sheep who are already in the room, keep us from turning into old crusty nanny goats. But let us find joy, Shepherd, in your call. And by all means, help us to be faithful to proclaim this call to others. We ask all this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Please stand as we close.